both moving and non-moving. This earth is your wife and you are the Supreme Father. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, along with Mother Earth, in whom you have invested your potency, just as an expert sacrificer puts fire in the Arani wood, purport. The so-called law of gravitation which sustains the planets is described herein as the potency of the Lord. This potency is invested by the Lord in the way that an expert sacrificial Brahmana puts fire in the Arani wood by the potency of Vedic mantras. By this arrangement, the world becomes habitable for both the moving and non-moving creatures. The conditioned souls who are residents of the material world are put in the womb of Mother Earth in the same way the seed of a child is put by the father in the womb of the mother. The conception of the Lord and the Earth as father and mother is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Conditioned souls are devoted to the motherland in which they take their birth, but they do not know their father. The mother is not independent in producing children. Similarly, material nature cannot produce living creatures unless in contact with the Supreme Father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us to offer obeisances unto the moving and to the mother along with the father, the Supreme Lord, because it is the father only who impregnates the mother with all energies for the sustenance and maintenance of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Napta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, in this verse, sages are offering prayers for all the residential purposes of all inhabitants. Earth is your wife and your Supreme Father. So here Lord Varahadev is compared to the Supreme Father and Mother Earth is compared to the Mother. Right? So, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you along with Mother Earth in whom you have invested your potency. So here Prabhupada is very nicely saying that this earth is their material nature, right? So conditioned souls are put in the womb of Mother Earth or the material nature. Just like a father puts the seed of a child into the mother's womb. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, he impregnates this material nature with all the jiva souls. And they are like children of the mother and father, with Prakriti and Purusha. So, Sarvayonishu Kaunteya Murtaya Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni Aham Bija Pratapita. So, all these species of life are made possible by birth in this material nature, and Krishna is the seed-giving father. So, every living entity has his connection with Supreme Lord Krishna, as a father, as a child is connected to the father. So, Krishna is our Supreme Father. Like that. He is the original father of all jivas. Conventionally, there could be one father in certain birth, but ultimate father, the Supreme Father, is Lord Sri Krishna. So, and Krishna is, or Mahavishnu, in his expansion as Mahavishnu, he is impregnating the material nature with jivas. So jivas are everywhere. So jivas are in earth, water, fire, air, ether. Jivas are there in every planet. Jivas are there in this earthly planet and in heavenly planets and even in Brahmaloka. So jivas are all pervading. They are everywhere. However, when the Lord is impregnating the material nature, how come all the jivas are not having the similar kind of destinations? Somebody is taking birth in Brahmaloka, somebody is taking birth in Martyaloka, okay? And somebody is in this planet, somebody in some other planet, somebody is in this universe, somebody else is in some other universe, and someone is in the form of human being, somebody in the form of a dog or cat or some other species, aquatics. So why there are so many forms? So Prabhupada says that the material world is impregnated with living entities who come out in various forms and high positions and low positions, and at the time of creation, according to their past deeds and desires and aspirations, they attain various destinations. They attain various high positions or low positions or this planet and other planets, like that. So it is not the cruelty or partiality on the part of the Supreme Lord to give various kinds of destinations to various souls. Right? So Lord is neutral. Bhagavatam gives these analogies. Just like a judge is there, Prabhupada gives these analogies. A judge in the court is there, some criminal is there, so judge gives him a punishment. Okay, you will be hanged to death, or you may have to pay a fine of, 10,000 rupees. So he will say like that. Or to some other person, he will give some reward. So judge is not in favor of some person or against some person. So the person has done certain activity because of which he has received this kind of treatment from the judge. So judge remains neutral. He remains impartial. So similarly, when the Lord is impregnating the living entities into the material nature, so he is not being partial in giving various different kinds of forms or different kinds of destinations to all these living entities, but he is just doing this job, and the living entities are attaining various destinations and forms according to their own desires and inclinations and past deeds, like that, their aspirations. Another analogy is given by Prabhupada, sunshine and bee analogy. So just like sun is there, when the sun comes, the lotus opens up, the day lotus. The bee will come and then drink the honey from the lotus. But when the sun goes away, so the bee cannot access the lotus. The lotus close, access the honey in the lotus. So lotus will close. So sun has nothing to do with the happiness or distress experienced by the bee. Right? So similarly, Supreme Lord also is neutral and he is not partial to someone, but he gives various destinations to different living entities according to their own inclinations and desires. So according to one's karma, conditioned soul enters the body of certain shape, certain combination of material elements, and he contacts various other souls, right? Human beings or fishes or tigers. So he contacts various other souls also when he was impregnated into the material nature. So those who are having a similar nature or similar form, or maybe some kind of similarity in their karmas, so they come together, right? And they have certain association with each other for a short amount of time, and they can again disperse. So although impregnating the living entities into the womb of material nature is happening, right, just by the glance of the Supreme Lord, still all these living entities are positioned in various places right, in various forms, just as they deserve, just as they desire. So that is not a random activity. You just take a bunch of mustard seeds and then throw into some place. They just scatter, right? There is no pattern that is formed. So Lord's impregnating the living entities into the material nature is not like our throwing of some mustard seeds or some jeera on the ground. So it is with proper format. Everyone will receive a destination that is exactly matching his desires and his past deeds, like that. So now, even amongst a group of souls of similar nature, so-called similar nature, human beings, actually that doesn't happen. Every soul is unique. Material nature has to give a very unique combination of material elements, means very unique body that suits the karma of that particular living entity. So that sort of body is formed. So even when two souls of so-called similar nature or somewhat closer nature come together and associate with each other, their association is also very temporary. So when the soul is impregnated into the material nature, and his main activity in this material world is to search for sense gratification. So Krishna is giving so many instructions in this in Bhagavad Gita and various other scriptures, how to come out of this material nature by doing devotional service and meet Krishna in the spiritual world. But as Prabhupada is nicely saying in this purport, conditioned souls are devoted to motherland, but they do not know their father. So material nature or this earthly planet, so it may be like a mother or motherland for the living entity. So he is so much obsessed with that only. He is attached to this body, he is attached to this place where he is living, he is attached to the family, but he forgets his supreme father. So conditioned souls are more attached to this material nature and they are searching for sense gratification, neglecting the instructions of the supreme father. So fourth canto says, Kshutparito yathadiena saramayo graham graham charan vindantita yad dishtam dandam odanam evava tatha kamashayo jiva uccha vacha patha brahman uparyadhova madhyeva yati dishtam priya apriyam. So living entity is exactly like a dog. When the living entity is impregnated in the material nature, just like a dog goes from one door to another door, street dog, not the pampered dogs of the modern world, but the street dogs, the traditional, in the traditional sense, the street dogs just go from one door to another door, one street to another street, okay, and at one door he will get a stick, dandam, odanam evava, and at some other place he will get some chapati or some rice, okay, which is just 24 hours old. So that kind of old rice they may get. So dogs, sometimes they will get a good treatment in the sense that they will get some food. Bad treatment oftentimes in the sense that they will get some punishment. Similarly, the living entity is searching for sense gratification in this material world. And sometimes you will get some happiness. Many times you will get distress. So that is the condition of this material world, of the conditioned soul in this material world. Sometimes you'll go to heavenly planets, sometimes you'll go to hellish planets, sometimes he's there in the middle planets. And because he's constantly encountering miseries, the conditioned soul wants to reduce his miseries. Right? He wants to counteract the threefold miseries that he's experiencing. And what he does? He tries some material solutions. And they become so futile that Bhagavatam compares his attempts to counteract material miseries to shifting the burden on the head to shoulder. Okay, you are carrying something, okay, you put it on the shoulder, sometimes this shoulder, sometimes this shoulder. So wherever you put here, you are only carrying it. Okay, that much weight is there, 20 kilos or 40 kilos, that is there. Once Prabhupada gives some story, there is an old woman in the forest and she was cutting some wood, and then she collected a lot of wood and with great difficulty she put it on her head, and somehow that fell off. So then she was remembering Krishna. Oh God, so this fell off, now how will I carry it again? With great difficulty I put it on my head. Then the Lord comes and says, tell me, what should I do? and then she says, put this on my head. So Prabhupada says, see, conditioned soul is so ignorant that when the Lord is coming and saying, what do you want? And she is asking for the burden back on her head, like that. So, and some so-called religious people who are little aware of God's presence and like that, who are not outright atheistic people, so they start blaming God when they are unable to contract the miseries. When they are experiencing so many difficulties, they are unable to contract the miseries with their own futile attempts, which is like shifting burden from shoulder to head. Then they start blaming the Father. So why the living entity is experiencing so many material miseries or reversals? Because he is unable to accept the instructions of the Supreme Father, and he is not following the process of devotional service. So why should Krishna give any trouble to living entity? Ideally he wants everyone to be happy, right, with him in the spiritual world. But the analogy is again given in the Rudra Gita purports that a child is there, he wants to imitate the mother in cooking. Mother is cooking and feeding the child, and child says, I also want to cook. But you are a small child, you can't cook, you will burn your hands. And the mother may say, but child is so adamant that he doesn't want to listen to the mother. He doesn't want the food cooked by mother. He says, I want to cook. Then knowing that the child cannot cook for himself, mother will give him some toy utensils. Okay, toy stove, toy cylinder, okay, toy utensils. Okay, everything is imaginary, nothing real. So child will just play with these toys for a while, and then after a couple of hours he will become hungry. And he'll come back to the mother. And mother says, hey, you have cooked so much, you eat that. No, I don't want to eat that. I want to eat what you are cooking only. Child will say that. So Krishna is actually like a mother who is giving the conditioned soul, who is like an adamant child, the experience of trying to cook for himself. Because the soul does not want to eat the food cooked by Krishna, so Krishna gives him some toy utensils in the material world. So you try to become the enjoyer, you try to become the master, you try to live independently from my service and see whether you will get happiness or not. So conditioned soul will come here and then make his attempts to be happy in this material world, but he will fail in his attempts to be happy. Then he will turn towards Krishna. That's where that is the point what Krishna is looking for. Just like mother is expecting the child, when will this child stop this nonsense playing and then come back to me so that I can feed the child? Mother never wants the child to suffer in hunger. Similarly, Krishna never wants the conditioned soul to suffer in this material world. But because the child is adamant, mother is giving toy utensils. Because conditioned soul is adamant, Lord is making him stay in the material world. But ultimately, Krishna wants us, all of us, to surrender. So there is no point blaming the Lord. So one's desires decide one's destinations. It's not the cruelty or partiality of the Lord. So the only solution, as our books are saying, is devotional service, to come out of these clutches of material nature. So one more aspect in this purport is, these living entities are just combinations of material nature and spiritual nature. The soul is there, and the body is a combination of earth, water, fire, and ether. It's a combination of spiritual and material natures. So when the living entities take birth from the material nature, because they are so tiny and there are so many, right, all these souls are scattered all over the universe, and their relationship with each other becomes insignificant. Sometime back, with that mustard seed example, we were understanding that there is a pattern in this whole thing, right? Krishna impregnating the souls into the material nature. Everyone is getting certain destination according to his own karma. But the meeting of two souls in this material nature, okay, when Krishna impregnates into this material nature, is not very significant. The meeting becomes so temporary. When two souls are meeting, that meeting is hardly of any significance. So the relationship between the soul and the Supreme Father Krishna is very significant. But the relationship between this soul and that soul with material nature in the center is very least significant. It doesn't have much importance. Even within this life also we can see, we met so many people. All of us are maybe in late 20s or early 30s. So we must have met so many people in our life so far. But how long could we stay along with them? Right? We never expected that we end up here. Right? So the meeting between two souls is like meeting of two twigs. Right? Two twigs of our leaves on the surface of water when the water is flowing, when the river is flowing. Like that. So in every creation, bhutva bhutva praliyate, Krishna impregnates the conditioned souls in the material world and they are scattered all over the creation according to their own aspirations. So the analogy is given, dehis are the living entities are like sand particles. They are united sometimes, they are separated many times by the force of waves. Similarly, by the force of time, living entities come together and they are scattered away from each other. Like that. But this material elements are eternal and jiva is eternal. But the jiva's contact with certain combination of material elements is temporary. Like that. So in the Chitraketu episode, this beautiful explanation comes where the living entity is staying in particular body for a while, and as soon as he experiences his karmic results in that body, he will shift to some other body. So his relation with this body is very temporary, and his father, mother, relatives, friends and all of them whose relation with this soul is through the medium of this body is also temporary. Like that. So our relation with other person is through the medium of this material nature, through the medium of this material body created by material nature, and that connection is utterly temporary, which stays for a while. Okay, compared to the scale of eternity, that is most insignificant. Like that. But the material elements are eternal and jiva is also eternal. All these designations are only imaginations. So now, and one more analogy is given. Everything in this entire cosmos is in a temporary situation. So now we saw the temporariness of living entities' contact with other souls, living entities' contact with this material bodies, that is temporary. And this everything that is happening in the entire cosmos is also in a temporary situation, which has no existence in the past, which will have no existence in the future, which is temporarily existing in the present for a while. Just like a dream. Before one goes into the sleep, the dream has no meaning. Or once somebody gets up from the sleep, the dream has no meaning. So he is in touch with the dream only for a while when he is sleeping. So similarly, all the situations in this material world or this entire cosmos has an existence only for a short frame of time, and that does not have existence in the past and in the future. Like that. It's like somebody goes for purchasing. He goes to a businessman. His relationship with the businessman is just only for that transaction. Right? After that, this meeting has no meaning. Like that. So the important point to observe here is the soul's relation with another soul through the medium of material nature is temporary. Even if somebody happens to be the parent of a child, so the parenthood is also ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord and it is temporary. So Prabhupada gives this analogy. Once you sow some seeds in the ground, sometimes the seed may sprout, sometimes it may not sprout also. So similarly, every union between male and female does not lead to the child's birth. Right? So ultimately, Lord has to sanction it. So one's parenthood is also temporary. Okay? I am meeting with so many people, but that is a temporary relation. But my relation with my parents is eternal. No. Relation with parents is also temporary. Right? Like that, when Narada Muni meets Daksha's sons, so he says, he gives a very long allegorical story, and then finally he says, you don't know the instruction of your father. And they may think, our father instructed us to procreate children, enter family life, take care of the kingdom. So we came as a preparation to do some austerities. How can we say that we don't know our father's order? But what Narad Muni meant was, your material father, Daksha, is not your real father. Right? He just gave you birth. Your real father is the scriptures, spiritual master, or Krishna. That is the real father. So the living entity has his eternal connection with the Supreme Father Krishna, okay, and his statements, the Vedic literatures, right, and his representative, the spiritual master. These are all eternal relations of the soul, okay, but all other relations are temporary, like that. Even Harshasoka, when he comes back to life, Narad Muni brings him back to life in Chitraketu's episode. He says, in which body are you my parents? I had cat parents, I had dog parents, I had some other parents, and in which body are you my parents? How can you claim a relationship as father and child? Right? I am just a soul, just wandering in the various bodies according to my karma. Like that. Now, this is all about the temporary nature of relationships in the material world. But the soul's relation with another soul, with Krishna in the center, is very significant and it's permanent. So, every soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. And with the awareness that awareness of everyone's connection with Krishna, if one associates with each other, with Krishna's seva and Krishna's katha in the center, then that becomes a spiritual association. Okay, that association is like eternal investment. All others is like time waste or time pass. But the connection between two souls with Krishna in the center, Krishna katha or Krishna seva in the center, becomes an eternal investment. That becomes a permanent thing. So, the association with each other based on the material nature, body relation, same country, same language, same material inclinations, right? That is all material. A relation could begin so, okay, we have same mood, we are from the same place, okay, let's sit together. But once you sit together, once that connection, the center of that connection, that relation should be Krishna. Then only it's worth continuing. So just continuing our relationships based on some material considerations will have not much value. We have this example of Devayani and Sharmishta. So Devayani and Sharmishta, Devayani was the daughter of Sukracharya and Sharmishta was the daughter of one Rishabharva, a king, Rakshasa king. So they were friends. So they were friends before entering the lake to take bath. After they came out of the lake, they became enemies for the rest of their lives. So their connection between each other was purely based on their false ego. So Devayani was thinking, my father is so great and this Sharmishta's father is coming and offering obeisances at the feet of my father. So they are dependent on my father's blessings. Okay, I am great. Because I am daughter of Sukracharya, I am great. And Sharmishta was thinking, just like a dog comes or crow comes, this Sukracharya is coming and then taking donation from my father. Sukracharya and his daughter are being maintained by my father, so I am great. So Sharmishta was thinking like that. Devayani was thinking in the other way. So their friendship is going on. Internally there was a feeling of superiority amongst each other, okay? Then their friendship was going on. So once they came out, their dresses got exchanged and the real natures came out. How dare you take my dress? How dare you take my dress? So they started fighting with each other and that led to their eternal enmity. So the relation between these two girls was not based on Krishna Seva or Krishna Katha. It is purely based on their egoistic considerations. Right? You scratch my back, I scratch your back. My being with you, he is just enhancing my false ego, that's why I am with you. It's comfortable for my false ego, that's why I am with you. So there is no superior meaning to that relationship. So that's why that relationship broke. There is absolutely no meaning to that relationship. They became eternal enemies, enemies for the rest of their life. Similarly, when two sadhakas are having a relationship, so their association should be based on how much this person is inspiring me to serve Krishna better, right? How much this person is inspiring me to hear and chant about Krishna better, then that relationship has a meaning. Otherwise, that such an inspiring association is desirable. If that element is missing, if somebody is just coming together, just having some on some material considerations, then that relationship will not sustain and it will not help in one's spiritual advancement like that. So, is this association making me more Krishna conscious or more bodily conscious? That is one thing we need to identify. Definitely there is some purification or austerity in the association. There is purification which is done by our associates through their words, through their actions, through their glances, right? Yet, these are a bunch of people who are trying to serve Krishna, right? They are trying to come out of the clutches of material nature. They are seeking shelter under Daivi Prakriti and trying to come out of this material Prakriti. So their aspirations are pure, right? So their association becomes very important in spite of all the other difficulties in that association, right? So for example, Bharat Maharaj is there. Difficulties are there in association. All the Ayodhyavasis doubted Bharat Maharaj, although he was purely innocent. But Bharat Maharaj ultimately took their association only, took the shelter of the association of Ayodhyavasis only and took all of them to the place where Ram was living and then proved his innocence. Right? He did not leave them. All the Ayodhyavasis misunderstood me. Okay, why should I be with them? No, there is, sometimes there is misunderstanding in the association, sometimes there are many other difficulties in the association, but still one should not leave the association because this association is helpful for my spiritual advancement. And one needs to take care of the consciousness there. Like that. That's why great devotees are aspiring for this association alone. Yavatte maya sprishta brahmama eha karma bhi tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasyano bhavir bhavi. So, we don't want any liberation from this repeated birth and death. All we want is to be in the association of devotees, birth after birth. Right? According to our karma, we may transmigrate from one place to another place, one body to another body. But we want access to the association of devotees. That becomes very crucial. Yes, conditioned souls are impregnated by Krishna in the material nature. He is our father. And we are living in the bodies made of material nature. But our consciousness has to be connected to the Supreme Father. Okay? And in our association with other devotees, the consciousness of the Supreme Father should be there. Then, and this mainly happens through the service and sravanam in the association of devotees. Like that. So, recently, Radhesham Prabhu gave a nice seminar on Hanumanji's Lanka trip, Sundarakanda. There, while he was presenting, he just mentioned just one incident that happened in Pune. Once Chandramouli Swami Maharaj came to Pune, and the devotees requested him to speak, and he was there for 3-4 days, and then every day they arranged 4 programs, right? So every day Maharaj was speaking some whatever 7 hours, 8 hours, like that. And after the programs, devotees are coming to him, and then they were discussing. So after 4 days, Radhesham Prabhu went to Maharaj and asked, "Maharaj, how was it? It was all right. We hope that we didn't overstretch you." Right? Then Maharaj responded saying, "I am blissfully frustrated." So Radhesham Prabhu asked him, "How can you be blissful at the same time frustrated?" Then Maharaj said, "My body is frustrated, exhausted, but my soul is in bliss because I got to glorify Krishna so much." Okay? And when Radhesham Prabhu said, "Next time we'll reduce our programs, Maharaj." "No, no, no, keep the same." So he said like that. So at the end of, I like this statement so much, I am blissfully frustrated. So I was just contemplating on that statement last few days. So at the end of service, in spite of all difficulties, in spite of the so much exhaustion for the body and mind, when we access that overall satisfaction of that rendering service to Krishna, that is the source of bliss, right? That is the source of satisfaction, right? If we are more on the side of bliss, then we are Krishna conscious, we are on the soul platform. If we are more on the side of frustration, then we are more far from Krishna and then more bodily conscious. So that's what I understood from this. I am blissfully frustrated, this statement. So one needs to take care of the body, no doubt. Right? As long as we are in the body, one has to take care of it, no need to torture it. But one needs to endeavor to access that internal satisfaction that comes by offering service to Krishna. Although the body is getting exhausted and mind is getting exhausted planning, or so much anxiety to get the service done, our intelligence is getting exhausted by so much of planning and scheming. Okay, sometimes false ego gets exhausted, right, by disrespect, not value, when others don't value our opinions or neglect. So because of all that, ego also gets distracted. There is exhaustion or frustration for the gross body and subtle body. But overall, after the rendering certain service for the pleasure of Krishna, there is some satisfaction element in that. If one is able to access that, and if that satisfaction overwhelms us more than the frustration that is happening to the gross body and subtle body, then we are on the right track. So that's how I felt. So even Nimailila Prabhu was giving a brilliant presentation a couple of months back. He said, the pleasure that we derive when we perform some service to Krishna is coming from Srimati Radharani. So she is the pleasure potency. She nourishes our endeavors to do selfless devotional service. When we are deriving some satisfaction and pleasure in our attempts to serve Krishna, that is directly coming from Srimati Radharani. Like that. Our Gaurcharan Prabhu dances so much. 4.5 hours continuously he danced in Rath Yatra. And finally he was satisfied. Body was exhausted definitely, but he was having some satisfaction. There is a physical exhaustion, but there is satisfaction for the soul. Like that. You see, ultimately the result of the devotional service is not to get some material benefit or name, fame or some credits. But it is the satisfaction of offering service to Krishna. We have this brilliant example, one small pastime from Ramayana. So Lord Ram comes on his way to Vanavasi, comes and meets Guha in certain forest. Right, Guha washes his feet before he was boarding the boat, and he says, I am washing your feet because touching your dust, a stone became a woman. If you put your dusty feet on my boat also may become a woman. So that's why I am washing his feet. So that sweet exchanges were there. So when they were crossing the boat, when they were crossing the river on the boat, so Sita Devi was very much impressed with the devotion of Guha. And then she gives a ring to Lord Ram and asks him to gift it to Guha. So Ram gives that ring to Guha. Guha says, I will not accept it. I don't want it. I don't want this material, whatever. I don't want this reward from you. I was doing so much service for you, not because of want of this reward. I am just happy doing this service. Then, one interesting thing he says, I am a boatman and you are also a boatman. Right? So, in my profile as a boatman, I am just taking passengers from one end of the river to other shore of the river. But in your profile as a boatman, you are making all the living entities cross over this material ocean. Right? When you came to my boat, I am not charging you. When I come to your boat, you don't charge me. Right? So take me for free. Right? Please give me entrance into your eternal devotional service for free. Right? So I just need that satisfaction. And we have the brilliant example of Madhavendra Puri. Bahu parishrame chandana remuna aila. Ananda badila mane dukkha naganila. So there bahu parishrama. He has done so much parishrama to get chandan, okay, all the way from Puri to Ramana. But ananda badaila mane dukkha naganila. Because in his mind he is experiencing the satisfaction and ananda of serving Krishna, although he did so much parishrama, dukkha naganila. He could not count the dukkha, the distress in doing so much hard work. Right, pragadha premera yi svabhava achar nija dukkha vigna dira na kare vichar. So pragadha premera, so this is a very high level. The svabhava, the nature of intense love towards Krishna is such that nija dukkha vigna dira na kare vichar. So there could be distress, there could be lot of difficulties, there could be impediments, scarcity, then discomfort, everything, but na kare vichar. One will not think about it. He is just focused on service of Krishna. This is a very high stage. But even at our sadhaka level, we can take some inspiration from this and try to focus on the fact that we are getting privilege to render service to Vaishnavas and Krishna. And many difficulties and other things are there, it's fine. But I'm ultimately getting a service to, opportunity to render service to Krishna. If you focus, shift our focus on that, then the difficulty there, then this, nija dukkha vignadire nakare vichar, then ananda badayalaman, then we'll access that satisfaction. Like that. So there are onslaughts on, mainly the difficulty part is, there are so many onslaughts or exhaustion or frustration for the subtle body and gross body as we discussed. So tolerating the onslaughts on gross body, the frustration or difficulty of the gross body is not so much expected. It's not, if someone is so much tired physically, that's okay, he can take rest. But what is expected or what is more important than that physical exhaustion is subtle body exhaustion. There is no other alternative than to tolerate the mental anxiety or the, you know, intelligence or the false ego onslaughts on the subtle body. Especially the false ego. One has to tolerate the onslaughts and false ego for his spiritual advancement. Okay, physically one may not be able to tolerate, that's alright to some extent. Right? But slots of onslaughts and false ego has to be tolerated. And there are so many devotees who are exemplifying this. The Lakshman is there. Sita doubted him and Ram chastised him, but still he is continuing his service. Right? Just with the focus on seeing the smile on master's face. So there is so much misunderstanding. Bharat is misunderstood, even Krishna is misunderstood by Dwarakavasis. In that Shamantakamani episode, Krishna is misunderstood by Dwarakavasis two times. What a big deal if a conditioned soul is misunderstood by some other conditioned souls. Right? It's not a very significant thing. And understand, Krishna is very innocent and faultless in this whole episode. Oftentimes we are not so innocent. Right? We leave some goof up, we do some goof ups or we leave some communication gaps, that's why we are misunderstood. Right? But the message Krishna is giving here is, although you are purely innocent, like Lakshman or Bharat or like Krishna, still people will misunderstand you and you have to tolerate. Right, so these things are very important for the one's continuation in devotional service, like that. So outside, people are endeavoring a lot just to earn some food, shelter, and clothing, right? And people are tolerating so much on physical level and then subtle bodily level also to get just food, shelter, and clothing. But for renunciants especially, all these facilities are automatically taken care of. It's all the more important for him to tolerate the onslaughts on the subtle body just for Krishna's service. Like that. So, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says that spiritual world has to be experienced before death, not after death. It is not something that one experiences after death. One has to experience the spiritual world before death. Then only he will continue in the, then only he will experience it after death. So basically spiritual world is a state of consciousness more than the geographical location. Like that. So that is about the soul entanglement and the way of coming out in this material world by doing devotional service, tolerating the onslaughts of false ego. So it's already 8:35. But one more point in this purport that Prabhupada highlights is, one has to worship one has to offer obeisances. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us to offer obeisances unto the mother along with father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one more thing is, one cannot worship either Krishna or Radha, whatever, the Supreme Lord or His pleasure potency separately. They have to be worshipped together. So when I read this statement, full statement, it is because it is the father only who impregnates mother with all energies for the sustenance and maintenance of all living entities. That is the reason Prabhupada gives. So I remember the vision of G.E.V. How Bhumi is the consort of Varahadev and she is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, and one should act not to exploit her but to live, to replenish her resources. So this was the vision of G.E.V. So I just remembered by reading that purport. So one has to worship the father and mother together. So the happiness for the heart and eyes is in worshipping or seeing father and mother together. So another small point from Ramayana. So Vishwamitra, when he was taking Ram and Lakshman towards Ayodhya, in a garden he meets Sita Devi. Right? So Vishwamitra was seeing this. Ram was next to him and Sita was in the part of Ayodhya. At the time their marriage did not happen and they were not together. So finally Vishwamitra had to see them together. There he sees towards Ram and says, oh, here is moon. And he sees Sita Devi. Here is moonshine. Ram he sees. Here is light. Here is lamp. And he sees towards Sita Devi and says, oh, here is the light of the lamp. And he sees Lord Ram. Oh, here is cloud. And he sees Sita Devi. Here is lightning. And he sees like that, oh, this is Madhavi and this is mango. The season Madhavi, mango season and mango. So, lamp and light and cloud and lightning, mango and Madhavi, then moon and moonshine, they have to be seen together. Then Vishwamitra is just trying to see both these things separately and then saying, "Arey, I have only two eyes and both two eyes have only one sight. I can focus on only one thing. Better you both come together and give me darshan." Right? I can't see moon and moonshine separately. And then when they come together the next day in Swayamvar, they get married, Vishwamitra feels so happy. So when Prabhupada is saying here, worship mother and father together, so I just recollected this incident. So when someone tries to separate mother and father and treat them separately, then he will attain the destination of Shishupal and Ravana. Right? So the pleasure of eyes and heart is to see Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram together. Like that. So with that we'll end. Grantharashtra Madhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.